Last week was Resurrection Sunday, as we know as Easter. In John chapter 20, we're going to pick up the story again in verse 19. This is when Jesus appeared to the disciples. That evening, on the first day of the week, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said, and as he spoke, he held out his hands for them to see, and he showed them his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. He spoke to them again and said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you refuse to forgive them, they are unforgiven." And then the other part was when Jesus appeared to Thomas. One of the disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the Twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands and put my finger inside them and place my hand into the wound in his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. He said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put your hand into my wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord, my God," Thomas exclaimed. And then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who haven't seen me and believe anyway." May God add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his holy and precious word. Do you believe it if you see it? That's basically the title of my message. Do you believe it if you see it? Well, you know, we always say that seeing is believing. Or is it? Objectivity is the subject's delusion that observation can be done without him. That was a phrase by Heinz von Foster. So seeing is believing, or is it really? Can you be sure what you're seeing in any given time, or what you have missed that was right in front of your eyes? Ever spend all morning looking for your glasses? Oh yeah, I have, Ralphie. Only to find them in the most visible place in the room, practically right in front of you. Were you ever certain that you saw something flicker beyond your line of vision, only to turn and to see nothing there? Have you ever focused on a picture in which you see something completely different than the person next to you? Why is that? I think it's because through our eyes we provide information to our brains, or our minds decide what we see. Lori Wagner, one of my mentors, is writing a book, come out shortly, and it's called Slant. In it, she describes the human phenomena of confirmation bias, in which we see what our mind expects to see, even if it's not there. We can select or ignore words or visuals in our line of vision depending on whether or not our brain believes that they're important to our frame of understanding. Wow! That puts an interesting spin on our ability to discern knowledge, doesn't it? Let alone absolute truth. Why is it so hard for us to challenge and change old habits, old belief systems? To emerge from trauma, to change our inner stories about ourselves and even others. It's because our brains operate something like an organic architecture. Our sensory organs and our brains are interacting with each other. Now, while our eyes provide information, our brain stores that information according to our growing knowledge. As I always said, God's amazing how he created our brains. It's like a built-in camcorder. Each of us have a different looking architectural designs in our head. So when we see or may not see exactly what we see, or even if we do see the same thing, we may interpret it differently according to our inner constructs. So, what does that say about seeing? About believing something, or to be so? Perhaps instead of saying, the seeing is believing, we need to say instead, believing is seeing. More accurately, it's likely a combination of the two. But our beliefs are cause for maps that we impose around us. And what we see and what we've already imposed is something that we kind of verify in our brains, in our head, and what we see, and do we believe what we see? Well, let's apply that to something bigger. You don't have faith because you see something to be true. But your faith colors the way you see the world and yourself or even others. Those with faith in God, faith in Christ, faith in the resurrection, in life live more content and hopeful and assured lives than those who believe nothing, absolutely nothing. They don't have anything to believe in. But now here's another surprise. Doubt is not the opposite of faith. In fact, we all doubt. That's why we need our eyes to see and our ears to hear, our fingers to touch, our sensory faculties confirm what we believe. And they assure us that what we know is real in the sense that fits into our vision of what the world is like. Well, did you ever know someone who believes he or she is a bad person? There are those out there, unfortunately, and with those inner feelings will color the way that person sees everything in the world. Or on the other hand, if somebody feels good about themselves and they're confident and full of self-assurance, that person will likely flourish in his or her relationships and find hope in everything and see good in the world around them or her. Now, that doesn't mean that this person never doubts anything, but he or she has the courage to ask questions or what she sees or he sees. So, in a sense, doubt is not the opposite of faith, but the confirmer of faith. In the scripture that I just read for today, we see Jesus' first appearance to the disciples from within a locked room. Notably, Thomas is missing. We don't know why he's not there. Did he go for food? Did he have a need to go check on his masonry business? Because Thomas was a stonemason and a master builder. Did he check on his family, or did he go on a secret errand? We have no idea. We only know that he wasn't there during that first encounter. So when the other told him what they had seen, his answer is, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I ain't going to believe it. Well, does this response mean that Thomas had no faith? Of course not. He was one of Jesus' most ardent disciples. He was also a builder, an architect, a person who believes on experience rather than a theory. He was a realist who wasn't afraid of asking the hard questions about what he felt was right. Otherwise, he wouldn't have become a disciple in the first place. Thomas was the same one who suggested if they go and visit Lazarus, they might die along with him. John chapter 11, verse 16. Was Lazarus killed? We know that the Pharisees had a hit on his life, so to speak, and we know the disciples feared Jesus into Jerusalem, his entrance, and the threat of death loomed over him. But only Thomas spoke up in this way. Thomas was also the one who said to Jesus, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? John 14, 5 and 6. And Jesus replied, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now Thomas was devoted to Jesus. He protected him. Even his faith was strong, and he believed wholeheartedly in the mission that Jesus had and what he was doing. But in his mind, It was one of practicality. It was one of strategy. It was one of analysis and reason. His role as a disciple among the 12 was to ask the hard questions. And it's because of Thomas' questions that our belief is confirmed in the witness of the Scripture, and that our faith is assured. Now, doubt is not a lack of faith, but a confirmation of what the mind already longs to believe. So if Thomas had not had faith, he could not even have listened that day, or he would not have known what to do a day or a week later. He would have to witness what he did. Could he have been the apostle he later would become? Or did his mind, and even a mind that focused on the practical and the empirical, do a double take when he felt with his own hands the nail marks and the wounds of Jesus? That was enough not only to confirm, perhaps, what he believed or hoped even, but to change his inner vision to one accepting of supernatural truth. You see, here is the one paradox. Believing and seeing. I think once in a while we can encounter a glitch, something so out of our realm of understanding, or something that is so clarifying that it shifts our entire architecture, or adds something new to our inner vision. I think this was the fact that Jesus' gift in telling of parables. It's what happens when someone suddenly sees something in their life that changes their view of themselves and others. We call it healing. Jesus calls it seeing. Now, Thomas experienced the paradox that day, and it would change his life and our witness of the resurrection for all time to come. The gospel writer John tells us in this scripture today that these signs were written so that we might come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing we may have life in His name. Now think about it. Without Thomas's questions and without his doubts and without his inquiry, we may pass off this scripture just as a collective wishful experience of Jesus' inner posse. But, I love the buts. But with Thomas' doubt and his subsequent confirmation, his paradox shock, and his complete change of spirit, our own belief becomes assured, and we too can become open to experiences Jesus' resurrection in our own lines of vision. Well, this season of Easter, or what I like to call the season of resurrection, it's a time of change, of believing and becoming and seeing new things. I encourage all of us to challenge our expectations, to challenge what we know and think is true, and instead to read the scriptures with new eyes, to see Jesus in your life with less expectation and more fascination. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the scriptures to you, and in doing so, my prayer is that you too will experience these new paradoxes of knowing and growing that'll change your beliefs, your views, your faith, and more important, you. It is because of the hope that we have in Christ Jesus that we can keep on keeping on, that is written in the Gospel of John and other parts of scriptures, is truly true. How do we know? Here it is, church, because Jesus said so. It is true. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. What a blessed promise. If you haven't accepted Christ in your life, take a moment and say, Lord, if you're everything that they say that you are, then I want you to be in my life too. And I don't want to be a doubting Thomas anymore. With the blessed assurance, reveal Jesus to me. Have a wonderful day. God bless.